Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
All right, we tell you all about my trip to Kentucky, and we take a deep dive into Kevin Hart's lawsuit, and also Matt drove the Lamborghini Urus.
I like it.
And we get into that. First, Continental OE Technology Series. You can find weird things in your car. Man, there's petrified French fries, melted crayons. Occasionally a snake gets in there. I don't like that, man. Keep it clean. You'll also find Continental belts. Bet you didn't know they're OE on millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, BMW, VW, and GM vehicles. Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series, fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function for 98% of vehicles on the road in the U.S. and in Canada. Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. And you can get the full story at OETechnologyseries.com. That's OETechnologyseries.com. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, but get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing and telling a friend. It's CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla, and that's the moderator, Matt DeAndrea, over there.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm tired, man.
Yeah,
long trip. I've been running and
going. Was it the
going
Bourbon Trail?
I did the Bourbon Trail. I've been...
Did you hook up with our friend Billy Gibbons?
I did.
How's Billy?
Billy's great from ZZ Top, of course. I had a funny... You know, I have slightly insane conversations with Mike August, and then I have totally insane conversations with Nate Adams, who we make all the movies with. And then I'm laughing because I was just thinking about, so we're driving into the Bourbon and Beyond Festival. They have like the Foo Fighters and ZZ Top and a bunch of big bands playing there. And we're driving in, and I'm going to sit down and interview Billy.
Yeah.
Big car guy, got lots of good stuff going on.
Yeah.
And a sweetheart.
He's cool because he's a nice guy. And he loves tacos, beer, and cars.
Right. And I'm driving in and I go, have this moment where I'm like, I think to myself, it's Billy Gibbons, right? Not Billy Gibbons. Like people say it fast.
Yeah.
And sometimes it sounds like they're saying, yeah, it's Billy Gibbons.
Yeah.
But they don't go Billy Gibbons. They go Billy Gibbons. It just kind of blows by. And so I had this weird moment. I'm sleep deprived. I've been on the Bourbon Trail for 4 days. And I
having a couple cocktails.
And I say to,
along the way,
I say to Nate, I go, it's Billy Gibbons with a B, right? And he goes, yeah, Billy.
I know how to spell the Billy part.
I have these conversations with Nate all day long, and I'm like, that's an insane answer.
Yeah. He said, and he's like, it's Billy. It's Billy Gibbons.
And he's like, Billy starts with a B.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I understand. I do understand, but please listen to my question.
Yeah.
Thank God there's a van full of people that all laughed at him.
Yeah.
Normally, it's just me and him, and he thinks I'm nuts. But this time, the entire van laughed at Nate, who was also sleep deprived, too, from being on the Bourbon Trail, because we'd have to shoot all day, and then he'd have to edit all night and get this stuff out. And I was having to, like, shoot all day and then do a podcast at night and then travel back from, like, you know, Lexington to Louisville. I've learned how to say from the mayor and blah, blah, blah. So you can watch it on the spiritnetwork.com. And so I sat down with Bill, but Billy was great. Everyone's everyone's great. It's just, it's hot and you're traveling and you're just on the move.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but I got to drive. I've never driven in a Lamborghini
Murcielago.
Murcielago.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of my, one of my favorite Lamborghinis. It's just big and V12-y. And
it's a little stiff because it's got kind of a tube frame chassis.
It's really stiff.
You know, like it's kind of a square barred kind of chassis, you know, throughout.
Yes.
You know, before we had the, you know, the carbon fiber monocoque tubs, which are great, but they have a little flex for comfort, you know. And stuff.
Yeah.
And
no, it's...
Why did you drive a Murcielago on a booze fest?
It's... I was just driven in one. It was a pilot. Great couple out there. Both pilots. Husband, wife, all into the cars. Had some very interesting stuff. Mostly newer stuff, but interesting stuff. And had ordered the new Corvette, the mid-engine, whatever. And they were asking me all about that. And I was like, my friend Matt went. And they went, who's Matt? And I was like, yeah, don't bother. But but the mid-engine, and they've got one on order. I don't know when people are going to start taking delivery of those things pretty soon. It was we got a picture of it. It's the guy had a cool... He had a couple of cool combos, which is he had a green, that Lamborghini green, real bright, light green Murcielago with a dark blue interior, which was kind of cool.
It looked like an Alfa Romeo Stelvio behind you.
Yeah, an Alfa Stelvio, which I was a passenger in. And then they also had a Ferrari 430.
I like
what I want to call is the Stradale, but it's not the Stradale. It's the whatever one, but it's the Stradale.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like this souped up version of it, which was green, like a forced green with a forced green interior, too. It was funky, but cool.
Yeah.
And lots of
Scuderia. I like the forced green exterior and the interior, but I'm not sure on the same car.
Yeah. And I'm still confused about the Stradale and the Scuderia, because I think I had the 360 Stradale. That's what I thought, but maybe it was a Scuderia. Who knows?
Wait, well, there was a 355 Challenge, and then the 360 Stradale, and then the
430 Scuderia. Yeah. That's
maybe,
what it was.
Maybe that's the order.
Yeah, probably was. Anyway, good folk.
Yeah,
and good fun. Just a lot of traveling, and a lot of back and forth. And then we got stuck at an airport, and somewhere around midnight last night, stuck in Denver, finally getting ready to get on the plane to get back to LA at like 3 a.m. Mike got into a shouting match with some dude.
Of course he did.
It was so awesome. This guy, these poor people, like they think they're going to get something out of Mike. They're not going to get anything out of Mike. Like Mike's just standing there and he's unflappable. And this middle-aged dude who looked to be in pretty decent shape, you know, he's like, hey man, I hope you're not planning on cutting this line because I don't need you cutting this line. And Mike just goes, hey, you don't know what we're doing, so shut up. Shut your mouth. You have no idea what we're doing. It was awesome. It was also great for the people around us who had to deal with that fucking guy. And at some point, someone started laughing because somebody went, I wonder if that guy lives in Denver or he lives in L.A. I said, oh, he lives in L.A. because he's a douchebag. They wouldn't accept that behavior.
He's going to sit next to Mike on the plane by the time everybody gets on board.
I know. We were just so waiting for that guy to come in and sit next to us. And Mike's so funny because then these poor people, they're nowhere's land because they say this thing to Mike and then Mike tells them to shut up. You don't know what we're doing, so shut your mouth. And then they have to just stand there for the next 25 minutes.
Like real close to Mike.
Yeah. And me too. It's awesome. Mike will tell anyone to shut up, which is awesome. So we had that was good. That was exciting. I got to drive a tractor. That was always fun. Man, those tractors got a lot of gears, man.
Seems like a lot of driving involved on this bourbon fest.
Yeah.
You don't say, I'm going to a bourbon trail event, and you come back with all the driving
stories. Well, I wasn't drinking. I was trading bottles of bourbon. So I wasn't exactly, hitting it and getting it. Although once we got done with the whole thing, certainly. Yeah, well, no, actually, there was some tasting going on at some point, and it's kind of interesting. And they take their Kentucky, takes it real, real serious over there. Yeah. And there was some, Max Zapata was in on one. Some interesting, like people do wine tastings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do the bourbon tasting, man. It's a really interesting affair. And I think one could say, in terms of experience, is a little more intense than wine tasting.
Yeah.
Does
okay.
that sound about right,
yeah,
Max Pata?
It was really satisfying, and I didn't know all the differences between bourbon.
Are you normally a bourbon drinker?
I actually really like. I'm more of just a regular whiskey. I never thought I liked bourbon. Now I love bourbon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm taking tours of the distillery and stuff. You know. We're kind of saying like. Man, get out there, go take a tour, you know? Like, I remember taking a tour of Aston Martin. It was really cool. And it wasn't so much different than taking a tour of the Bullet Bourbon distillery. Like, it's just stuff, people doing stuff, you know, putting stuff together, like making a really killer product, seeing how it goes together, the different departments. It's nice.
I'm a fan of being able to look behind the curtain anytime, any scenario. You know, I went down to Magnaflow a while back and just toured their facility, Magnaflow's facility. Everything from their R&D and assembly and shipping and how they use robots, that's fascinating to me. You know, right? So anytime you say, actually, I'm going to be touring this coming weekend. I'm flying up to Seattle and touring Forza Motorsport, Turn 10 Studios, to visit those guys.
I think I've been out there. I'm pretty sure I've been out there. Why don't let me hit Bet Online, and then I want to talk about this Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Lawsuit and sort of how,
potential
kind of open things
various
up.
Lawsuits, and maybe I want to get your take on it. Maybe get Garagos's take on this when people actually file suits. I'm curious what his thoughts are.
First, bet on, and I know you have some updates on it, so I'll be curious to hear what you have to say. First, betonline.ag, NFL college action continues. Visit betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Matchups, week 4, Philly, Green Bay, Tennessee, Atlanta, Cleveland at Baltimore. Cleveland came pretty damn close to beating my Rams the other day. Minnesota, Chicago, Dallas at New Orleans. We've got $500 in rewards to give out each week to 5 listeners in a $5,000 season-long charity contest. Join the conversation on Twitter with hashtag SportsNetChallenge, if you will. Let's see. Let me give you my picks this week. I like the Chargers, Los Angeles, over Miami. I like Houston, Texas. Texans at home over Carolina Panthers. Los Angeles Rams at home versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And New York Giants at home versus Washington Redskins as well. And that's like my lock, the Chiefs at Detroit.
The Rock runs that team if you're watching Ballers.
Oh, really?
He's like the new owner of the Chiefs.
Well, they're doing well this year, and that's my lock. I'd say 28-13 is my final score. And use the promo code PODCAST1, get a 50% sign-up bonus today, betonline.ag. All right, so Kevin Hart, what do you know?
So Kevin Hart, this is the update. It came out this weekend, TMZ and a couple of sites, saying all they know at this point is everyone's lawyering up, right? So the driver and the female passenger apparently are going to sue Kevin Hart. And Kevin Hart's probably going to sue the driver. And there's talk about somebody or all of these people suing the company who built the car.
Why do we?
It's too powerful and should have put more safety things in there.
Well, let me tell you what I know about people who sue people. The homeless rarely gets sued.
Right.
Everyone's looking for deep pockets. And there may even be some, we're suing Dodge, because you shouldn't be able to sell these crate engines to people.
Yeah.
But, you know, they should have to be a certified race team. Or you need to know what this, what if you, hey, Dodge, what if you just sold me this engine? I wanted to put it in my trike motorcycle and kill myself.
Right.
You need to start asking questions, and then it's just going to be a whole bunch more regulation.
Like, this isn't, you know, somebody's poisoning water and a statement needs to be made. This is all about money, like most lawsuits. And you're right. Like, you can go after the car builder, but, you know, they're probably, we know them. We know their speed core. It's not a secret. And Goldberg does a lot with them. They're a good shop. They make good cars, really into carbon fiber development. But how much money could they possibly have when you're saying, go to, you know, maybe go to Dodge instead for the crate motor? Or, like, if you're the driver, I don't see how, like, you have no choice but to sue Kevin Hart because he's the one with the money.
How did they, yes, whoever has the money shall be sued.
Right.
How did the guy end up behind the wheel?
So I don't know. And I think there's a reason why this is all being sort of quiet is because everybody's sort of lawyered up like right away. As soon as you read an article that Kevin Hart was in a crash and there was other people involved, I'm sure those people, not Kevin Hart, got calls from 100 lawyers.
Right. So Kevin Hart says to this guy on a Saturday night.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was a Saturday night.
Or weekend night at, I don't know, midnight. I don't know what time Max had had him. But here, you drive.
Yeah.
And I'll sit in the passenger seat.
Right.
And it sort of suggests to me that maybe Kevin had been drinking and said, like, you drive.
Right. Or it could have been the buddy going, hey, man, I really want to, you know, let me drive your car. This thing seems badass.
Right.
You know?
So my first thing is, why was this guy, who's not really qualified to drive that car, I'm sure. I don't know if it was his personal trainer or whatever it is. I don't really know how one could be qualified to drive that car. I think if you're in court and I was driving that car, somebody would say, oh, this guy has done professional races. Mm-hmm. He understands how to drive a high-powered car or whatever. Yeah. It wouldn't mean it would work. But you couldn't say, oh, this guy was a personal, this guy does a podcast and he's a comedian. And so I don't know if the guy has a history in performance driving or something, but I'm just guessing no.
Right.
I'm going to guess no. It happened just before 1 a.m. on a Friday or Saturday, whatever. And it doesn't matter.
There's a level of irresponsibility on the driver's part. I've driven a thousand cars of wildly ranges of horsepower. It doesn't mean you need to drive them crazy, right? You don't need to show off. Like, you can still be kind of smart about how you're driving the car. There's a way to put, you know, roll into the throttle, get a feel for the car. Like, you don't have to be midnight with people in the car unsafe.
I agree, but again, they're gonna say this guy was unqualified. Shouldn't have been driving, had no idea how to handle this, and whatever. And it's going to be that thing where people are basically saying, hey, I'm incompetent and dumb, and you shouldn't have let me do this, suing you.
That's what people are speculating. The driver's going to sue Kevin Hart and go, you knew I shouldn't have been driving this car, and you knew this car was potentially unsafe with somebody like me behind the wheel.
Right.
It's like,
was it a Friday or a Saturday?
It's an embarrassing lawsuit, but...
Or it was a weekend, for sure. Is that right?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter as long as it was a weekend. So it was late on a weekend.
Saturday night.
So I don't know where they were coming from.
Well, we know in Mulholland, and when we kind of mapped it out, I think it's further out, sort of like Mulholland, Calabasas area.
I don't think it was that far. It was close. We're trying to figure out. So it was like Cold Canyon. I thought it was Cold Water Canyon, but it was another canyon. So it's like further down. But anyway, were they at home fucking around and went, hey, go do this? Or were they at a club or something? Like, I don't know why we can't figure out where they were coming from. That kind of car's not really what you'd want to take out on a Friday night to go out drinking and go to a club or go to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a handful. It's loud. It's blah, blah, blah.
So also tell me if you think this is going to matter at some point. This wasn't a car built for Kevin Hart. He didn't commission to have this car built. This was an early billed by Speed Corps, and then he had bought it in the aftermarket. He bought it used from somebody or whatever, right?
Oh, well, that is...
Maybe he bought it from Speed Corps, but it wasn't built for him.
That is interesting.
Right?
Yeah, I guess. And now we're going to have to get into this whole world, which is, I don't know, sort of like guns. Like, okay, we need a background check before you buy a gun. And then it's like, Ben, you're not allowed to take your gun and just sell it to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Like, can we take cars with 750 horsepower and then you just put them up on eBay and sell them to whomever?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I sold my motorcycle to a guy. I sold a Ninja motorcycle, a Kawasaki Ninja. A guy couldn't ride a motorcycle.
Right.
I didn't know that.
No, yeah, that's right. He told this story. The guy just, yeah, he couldn't ride it.
He just showed up the house and crashed it.
Yeah.
Like, I saw that guy go down the street, and I was like, oh, this guy's going to get killed.
So,
but where's my responsibility?
That's right. Was it your responsibility to say, do you even know how to ride a motorcycle? When you read the ad, did you think twice? And did the ad, were you supposed to write real motorcycle drivers any are qualified? Like, you're the only one who can apply? Like, where does this go?
You know? Well, here's where it goes. If I had a pot to piss in, that guy could have sued me.
Yeah.
And he could have said, you should have known I couldn't ride a motorcycle. And I would have went, how would I know that? And he said, you know, he should have said, you should have asked to see my Class C license or whatever you get when you ride a motorcycle. I had one at some point. But look, the point is, he would have sued me if I had money, not because I was wrong, just because I had money. That's just
right.
The way,
that's exactly
that's
why.
The way the yeah. world works. So Kevin Hart has a lot of money. He's going to get sued. Dodge has a lot of money. They may get sued.
Yeah.
For the enthusiast, the problem as I see it is when you're a company and you sell crate motors and you sell Demon or Hellcat crate motors, mm-hmm. and then you get sued, then you enact a new policy. And the lawyers get involved and they go, look, people will not be able to purchase these things anymore. X Joe Schmo Speed Shop won't be able to do it. You will be able to sell it to certified whatever. You'll essentially now create a black market for it.
Yeah.
Because eventually, I think it'll get back to Dodge. And hey, these things are weapons. You're basically selling munitions to like folks on the street,
right?
And
right.
you can't have that. Well,
yeah,
it's fucking nuts. But yeah. that's the
so TMZ for some reason focused on in their little article. They focused on the car builder. So they in their article they said we quickly made calls to 10 shops. Now every TMZ or E Online or whatever, they don't know really much about cars or hot rod building, or they don't know that market. They don't know who they're calling. But they said we called 10 shops and asked them, when you build a car for a customer, do you make it extra safe or what? And they said 8 out of 10 shops said, we build what the customer wants.
Right.
Right. And 2 shops were like, oh, yeah, because I'm sure they positioned the question and the answer sort of, you know, in a way that was like, if you were going to build a 900 horsepower customer car, like, and 2 of the shops are like, yeah, I think if we were doing that big of power, we'd probably put a roll cage in it, or we absolutely would. All 8 of the 10 shops are like, we've never heard of this before. We've never heard, like, the customer comes to us, we build, it's like building a house. You plan everything, you discuss everything, you do everything, and the customer gets what they want out of it, right?
Right. But in your analogy about building a house,
right.
you got to pull permits
there's an
inspector, and they come by all the time and they go, you can't have that outlet that close to the water source or whatever. They'd go all the way through, and literally an inspector would come by and go, you got to have a 5-point harness and you got to have a headrest and you can't have a cage. And they would just keep going. Now, we don't want to go down that road, but I mean, you think about people, you see them over at Bob's Big Boy on a Friday night. They're driving around a T-bucket.
Yeah.
You picture a T-bucket.
Yeah.
T-bucket's got 10-speed front tires. It's got a big block Chrysler.
Yeah.
The guy has the steering wheel's facing down. Like, I mean, he's steering it like the till of a boat.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
That thing's, he's sitting on a love seat. a pie.
Oh yeah, I had one, and as a kid that we messed around with, and it was wood. Like the floor of the bucket was wood.
You got,
you know, the frame would bounce up and down because it was just two pieces of metal.
Your big fat Mickey Thompson slicks on the back. Nothing could handle. Yeah. I mean, nothing. I don't know. Horsepower to weight ratio. Shit. I mean, some of those guys driving around with two big Holley double pumpers or blower up top or whatever. I mean, that you see as T-Bucks, is this guy's driving around 800 horsepower, some weighs 1,900 pounds or whatever with no anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the back seat doesn't go halfway up your back. Forget about a headrest.
Right.
I mean, those are insane. Now, look, you're not going to go tear up Mulholland on that, but you could certainly get yourself into trouble.
Yes, and I would make the argument you could in almost any car. And, I mean, as far as unsafe cars, like we have a Takata airbag issue. We've recalled millions of cars, and they're saying every car that has this airbag needs to be recalled. And, like, you know, how many of these cars are out there and people are getting hurt in them? It seems small.
I agree, but in a world – and especially in a state that just looks to regulate everything all the time.
Yeah.
It's coming.
So two things are going to happen is everyone's going to sue anybody with money, and California is going to be chomping at the bit to make some sort of regulation because they think that's going to solve a problem.
Yes. Also, you drove the Lamborghini.
Yes, the Urus.
Urus.
I'll tell you about it, but this is what Kevin Hart needs. He needs some Geico. Mm-hmm. Geico insurance, tell you. That group over there, everybody's got a to-do list. You're dropping off dry cleaning, picking up some milk, all kinds of stuff. Well, now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to your list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go check out Geico.com.
All right. So the Urus.
So the Lamborghini Urus. This is the we teased this last week. It's Lamborghini's SUV. And it's very swoopy profile, kind of BMW X6, new Porsche Cayenne Coupe, Audi Q8.
I don't think of it as swoopy. I think it's kind of jagged.
Jagged, but very pretty swoopy in the back, low profile.
Yeah.
Since you were kicking around a bunch of specs on SUVs recently, it is 201 inches long. So it doesn't look very big, but it's, I don't know, it's Ford Explorer size. That's three row.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, it's good. It is so good. It is really fantastic. As much as we love, this is an interesting statistic I think you'll like, this is the first V8 Lamborghini since the Yalpa in the 80s, right? Because this is...
Wasn't the Huracan V8?
No, they're 10.
V10. Oh, they're 10.
And all the Lamborghinis have been naturally aspirated up to this point, right?
So this is a turbo V8.
So this is a turbo V8. So it's coming from like the Porsche Cayenne and Audi platform.
Uh-huh.
And apparently it's the 4-liter V8 twin turbo that Bentley and Porsche and Audi all share. But and the engine arrives at the Lamborghini plant assembled, but I think the VW group people assemble it, but it's got a little bit of R&D and spin on it from Porsche's GT group, GT3, mm-hmm. GT2 mm-hmm. group on it, and ends up with 641 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
The one of the reasons why they didn't do a V12 is although it would fit in the SUV world, they're trying to keep this fairly lightweight, and mm-hmm. it's coming in at under 5,000 pounds, like 4,800 and change.
Light for an SUV?
It's got 17.3-inch carbon ceramic front rotor discs.
Wow.
17.3. This thing stops 60 to 0 in 107 feet.
Wow.
It is fantastic, and the power is great. All the different modes, sport, track. And I'm sure it has the off-roads and snow modes, which I didn't use, but normal sport and track are all great. It opens up the exhaust. It's quick. So Lamborghini says 0 to 60 in about 3.5 seconds, 3.4 seconds. Motor Trend has tested it as quick as 3 seconds.
3 seconds.
Yeah,
wow.
0 to 60. And I will tell you, this is the everyday Lamborghini. And this is a smart move for them in trying to increase their revenue, create a product that's going to increase people to the brand. So far, what I've heard is 70% of all the Urus sales are new Lamborghini customers.
Hmm.
It starts at $200,000, kind of goes up from there. I don't have the Monroney on the one that I'm driving, but it seems like it's pretty well equipped. I don't know if it's as high as 250, but it's good. I don't like it in yellow.
No.
And the crazy start-stop feature that all these new cars have, this one annoys me for some reason. I don't like it in this vehicle. And when you hit the button to turn it off, it just restarts the motor, restarts the engine in that instant. But the next stoplight, it resets the whole thing and shuts it off again. Yeah. So if you want to deactivate it, you have to put it in sport mode. And that was the most annoying thing for me. But
It's funny. I was in Kentucky and I was driving around in this guy's Alfa Stelvio.
Yeah.
And I said it was doing the stupid start stop thing. Yeah. And it was like screwing up the guy's radar detector because the guy's radar detector wouldn't run when it stopped off, whatever, whatever. And I said, yeah, man, I had that in the Jag. You got to pull the fuse. And he was telling me, yeah, but if you pull the fuse, you can't get the hood open because somehow the hood latch and the fuse or the thing are on the same circuit or something like that. So there was some...
That seems unlikely.
It seemed unlikely.
Because the hood seems very mechanical, not electric.
Seemed unlikely to me to... I didn't exactly know. Maybe you can try to Google Alfa Stelvio disable the
auto start stop
auto stop fuse. Start fuse. And anyway, we were sitting in the middle of Kentucky. He was giving me a speech about the hood.
Yeah.
I was like, I was trying to kind of picture what he was saying.
Yeah.
It wasn't really making sense to me, but I didn't have time to really take a deep dive in it because we're waiting. Mm-hmm. We're like shooting and filming and stuff like that. So I was just like, I'll take your word for it. But in the Jag, I just disabled that thing by pulling the fuse, and it's the best 10 minutes you'll ever invest in your car.
Yeah, I thought about that with this, and what's funny is I flip through the manual. A lot of times I like to do that on these more complex vehicles just to see if there's a few things. There's some things you pick up, like behind the little shifter, there's a slot, like you think you put a pen or something in there, and it's designed for the key fob. And when you slide it in there, it charges the key fob. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of shaped like the key fob. And that intrigued me, so I looked it up in the book. And as I was flipping through the book, I just so happened to see a page with two sentences, and it said, "We don't recommend you take the Urus on a short trip because we like it." It basically said it wants to get the vehicle up to temperature. And I know you're not losing a lot of temperature every time that stupid start-stop feature goes on and off.
Right.
But it just seems counterintuitive in the world of high-performance vehicle and shutting down the motor and leak and putting oil back in the pan. And like, it just seems...
It's also...
Like, do we need it?
Well, I don't... So
is it the difference between 16 miles per gallon combined and 15?
I think everyone is looking for their CAFE rating to be high. Now, obviously, if you have 200 plus grand to invest in a vehicle that weighs a lot, has a 640 horsepower,
641
engine, and goes 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. The cost of fuel is not at the top of your list.
Yeah.
Like, if you just said their customer, is their customer affected by gas being $3.89 a gallon versus $4.11 a gallon versus $2.91? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. And I would also guess that their customer doesn't even really know if gas goes up a dime. So in terms of fuel savings, like, for the customer, doesn't make sense.
You're right. It's a non-issue. It's all on the corporate side. It's the cafe standards, what they got to meet.
Right.
Those regulations. And
right.
You know, now, the only reason why companies like a Bentley or a Lamborghini can survive is being part of like a Volkswagen group that has a bunch of little tiny cars.
Right. And for those of you who were like me going, oh, Jesus Christ, what do you save? Like a eye drops worth of gas at the end of the year. We looked it up once. Like you save 50 gallons of gas at the end of the year.
Yeah,
like
okay.
there's some significant amount.
Yeah.
Which I still don't care about.
Yeah.
Like it's still not good enough.
You could be annoyed at every stoplight, or you could save 50 gallons.
But it does, like when you go, please, how much would this save? Like the studies I've read or looked up said that at the end of the year or over the car's lifetime or average 3-year lease or like whatever it was, the number was significant. Like, I mean, not
okay.
But again, not enough for us to care, but you would still go, oh, 50 gallons. That's a lot of gas.
That is a lot. Right. Yeah, I didn't know that.
It was, I remember, I don't know if Max Zapata looked it up or Gary looked it up or somebody looked it up, but I remember kind of going, huh? Oh, well, that is a lot.
Yeah.
So they're doing it because they are able to add it to their bottom line, so to speak, in their cafe standards.
If it's that high, it makes a difference. It does annoy the customer. And we talk about some of the other sort of electric hybrid vehicles like the NSX. When the NSX shuts down the engine and goes into electric mode, you can leave the line. You can and you're in electric power and it doesn't feel like it's stalling. Like, you know, when you in the Jag, when you had it turned on, you pull into the parking space, it shuts the motor down, and now you don't know if the car's on or off, and do you want to inch forward a little bit more, and then it's got to fire it up. Like, that's the part where, like in the NSX, the electric motor solves that issue.
And I do think some cars are definitely better, like you said, than others. Like the Jag, you know, Jag's kind of my Jag, you put it in reverse, the reverse camera comes on, you back out of your space, and then you put it in drive and you start driving away, and you can look down at the screen and the reverse camera's on as you're just going down the street forward, you know, like, so cars that are a little more wanky a little slower with the electronics are going to tend to suffer a little more when they shut down and come back on.
Yeah,
it's not going to be as clean as the NSX is with the electric motor and the Japanese heritage and everything else. Max, Bad, did you find anything about that?
I'm just seeing it saves about 8 to 12% of your fuel economy a year. So I'm trying to figure out what that means in gallons.
Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's 10%. I mean, it's 10%.
Yeah, that's a big. It's a big chunk. Yeah, and I'm for that.
Would you guess 10%?
I would have not guessed 10%. I guess so many people sit in traffic and city driving. That's where it all comes.
Well, if you think about. You just go 10% and you fill up once a week, then you fill up 50 times a year, right?
Yeah.
So 10%.
If you had a small
50,
tank, and it was 10 gallons.
Well, it's 5 fill-ups a year, and that could be 16 gallons times, you know, that could be 100, that could be 80 gallons.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's a lot. I'm good with saving the gas. I'm all for that. I just the execution of this is annoying.
Yes.
When but we talked about Lamborghini experimenting with capacitors and maybe doing something with that and electric motors and hybrids.
But it's a bitch. Anyway, let's not
all these cars.
I want to know about the interior of this car.
Yeah.
I want to hit Tommy John first.
Yeah.
A lot of underwear brands out there claim big comfort. I'm wearing my Tommy Johns right now. They're the best. When you travel, you got to travel with your Tommy Johns. Over 7 million pairs sold, and 96% of their customer ratings are 4 stars or above. They're just the best. The legs never ride up. The waistbands never roll down. Horizontal, quick draw fly, saves men tons of time down there fumbling. Featherlight, air fabric guarantees zero visible panty lines for the ladies. And it's all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free guarantee. These things are the best. Once you get into Tommy John, you really will have a hard time going back to whatever you're wearing before Tommy John. I've been a convert for years now, and it's all I use. Tommy John, no adjustment needed, right, Matt?
Yeah, hurry to TommyJohn.com/carcast now to get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/carcast for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/carcast.
Yeah, I traveled all through Kentucky, met a lot of car dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of different car dudes. And they weren't all sort of Kentucky car dudes. They had some interesting sort of finesse to them. And you start to realize that people that are living in a lot of these places like Kentucky aren't Kentuckians. They're folks that just moved, you know, from Chicago or LA,
just
sort of get a little break in their taxes and a better school system.
Right.
So they're not what you would think as, you know, what you would think of as someone from Kentucky or someone who lived in Kentucky when you were young. And I don't know that you can ever really think about that anywhere. You're not going to be able to do that anywhere. Like, you know, a lot of people live in Miami or folks that just got fed up with New York and just moved to Miami. So you're not going to get the same person you're thinking of. Right. You're not going to get the person you thought of as the Miami person. They're from somewhere else. Just like if I moved to Seattle or Portland, I wouldn't be like a typical Portland or Seattle guy. I'd be me.
Yeah.
I just got fed up with L.A. That's how it would work.
Yeah, it's getting there.
So there's going to be a lot more of that, and thus driving around in Lamborghinis and Alfa Romeos in Kentucky.
Like you mentioned the interior of the truck, and it's great. It looks great. It's got a sportier seat, more bolstering than what you'd expect in, say, the Audi version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's as fast as it is, as well as it handles, and as nice as it drives, it still had heated and cooled seats. It had a massaging seat.
Right.
You know, like it had all the things you'd expect in a $200,000 SUV. It had plenty of storage in the back. It had pretty good leg room in the back seat. And just leather and Alcantara covered everything. Everything on there was just gorgeous.
What is the process? Does one order these things to spec? Does one go to a dealer and buy one that are on the lot?
You know, for these, I think you can probably do both. For sure, you can order it. But I would imagine some of these dealers are bringing them in there because Lamborghini years ago wanted to be different, and they ended up selling a lot more cars by offering test drives. When the Gallardo came out, they're like, dealers were told, put people in the cars, let them drive it.
Yeah.
And that made a huge difference.
Yeah. You know?
I mean,
I'm laughing because I went to go to the BMW. I don't go to the car dealers that much.
We were talking
about
that this weekend.
But I went to the dealer, and BMW dealer in Glendale. And I was like, I want to try this
i8. Yeah, the
i8.
R8,
A8. Yeah. R8. Goddamn. I was like, I want to test drive this car. And the guy's like, no, we don't do that. And I'm like, how much is the car? He's like, $122,000. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I can afford it.
But I should be able to drive it first. Yeah. He's like,
He's like, you might be interested in the
i3. Perhaps you'd be more comfortable in an i3, sir. And I was like, but if I can't drive it, I don't think I'm going to buy it. And he's like, well, sir, that's your prerogative. And I'm like, okay.
All right, see you later.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
But also, you know, car dealers, they're going to have to shift a little bit because cargo shorts and flip-flops ain't what it used to be.
Right.
That could be Mark Zuckerberg walking in there.
Exactly.
You don't know. He's wearing a t-shirt with a picture of a taco on it. And he's wearing cargo shorts and flip-flops.
Yeah,
he has $1 billion in the $10 billion. So you better watch out. Don't just look for the guy with the monogram cuffs and the silk tie. Like, I was just wearing my, you know, my basketball trunks and my tennis shoes, my t-shirt, and I just walked in there, and that guy was like, I don't see you in one of these babies. And I was like, okay, I'm going to leave. And he's like, okay. I was like, all right. Well, you're not selling the $115,000 car to me. But also, when I found out the range was 17 miles, I was like...
Which you would have figured out if he let you drive it. Maybe that's why he didn't want you to drive it.
Well, maybe I would have driven it and fallen in love with it.
Yeah.
But we'll never know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like if an adult comes in there and they want to drive your car, you take a chance. Let them drive that
car. I mean,
car.
There's other ways to poke around and see, you know, hey, you know, yeah, that's great. We'll get you in. What are you driving now? And, you know, just you could snoop around. You don't have to go to the hard pass.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. On the other.
Super judgy. They're like Phoenix cops.
On the other hand, my sister has one of those i3s and likes it a lot.
Yeah.
And as I said, interestingly enough, which was, I was like, God, those tires are so tall and so skinny. And how do I get any traction? And someone was explaining, oh, they make a tall tire. And once the thing gets taller, even if it's skinny, it's a bigger patch
mm-hmm.
on the surface, on the ground. And I was like, oh, and then it was funny when you'd look around at the 935 Porsches and they'd be like, oh, you got 19s in back and 16s in front? Like, what the hell? And like, well, the rule was you couldn't go any wider than 16 inches, but if you went up, you'd get a bigger patch.
Yeah.
That'd make contact with the asphalt. And it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, BMW, just that's what they're doing.
That's it.
Evidently, those i3s work, and they have pretty good range, and they're a little like funky looking, but they're kind of cool in their own modern way. And I don't know, got no problem with them.
Your buddy Penn Jillette drives a Nissan Leaf. Do you think they kicked him out? Listen, buddy.
I remember talking to Penn about
we don't do test drives in the Leaf.
About us all, he wanted something all electric, and he had a Mini Cooper, which may have been. I know his first one he had wasn't electric.
Regular
Mini Cooper. Yeah. Right. All right. Take care of your piece of business there.
Yeah.
You take care of Castrol.
Oh, I got Castrol,
and I've got a piece of it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Castrol. Yeah. Nah. Chance to win a trip to Vegas and meet me. Wow. Nice. See. Modesty prevents me from talking about myself. That's right. Head to your local AutoZone and get entered automatically with the purchase of Castrol. Pick up 5 quarts of Castrol Edge and motor oil, of course, and STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $33.99. Use your AutoZone rewards and automatically be entered to win. It's 2 nights, 3 day.
Mm-hmm.
3 day, 2 nights, Las Vegas, and meet us there in November. Say hi, right, Matt?
Yeah, there's no purchase necessary to enter to win. Open to residents of the 50 United States, District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. Must be 18 years or older. Sweepstakes valid September 24th through October 21st. Void where prohibited. See your local AutoZone store for more details.
All right. You can come see me tonight at the Uptown Theater in Napa. And I'm doing stand-up. Adam Carolla's Unprepared, so we'll do stand-up there, and then we'll read some ping-pong balls. And then the West Palm Beach, that'll be the following whatever, October 3rd. That is live podcast, so say hi. And then go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. And go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/adamcarolla, and see the stand-up there. What do you got, Matt?
You and I will be at the SEMA show. We'll be judging the Hot Wheels Legends finale Tuesday afternoon at SEMA, and we're doing a podcast with them on Wednesday. And my lightning truck is going to be in the Magnaflow booth outside. It's
wow!
Be nice.
Oh man, so much.
Yeah, you might have to drive it out there.
I've driven out to Vegas in the bed of a pickup truck.
Oh, really? Not, you can sit on the inside
and not a full size.
Yeah, the air works
with no camper shell. A miniature bed pickup truck Nissan sat in the bed.
Wow.
With not even the sliding window thing.
No, you can't even get a cocktail.
Couldn't even talk to my buddy.
All right.
All right. So until next time, Sam Kroll for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.